Welcome to the Lynch with a Leader podcast takeaway edition, where Mike and Casey sit down and pull out some of the best leadership nuggets from the most recent podcast. Now, here's your host, Casey Lynch.
Well, welcome to Takeaways. I'm your host, Casey, here with Mike, getting ready to discuss his episode with Randy Alcorn. Okay, Mike. You guys talked about a lot, covered a lot of time. What was your biggest takeaway from your time with Randy?
Oh, it's so funny. I was just telling you this. I've gone back and had to do a refresher. It was literally, we hear this phrase all the time. It was like drinking from a fire hydrant. It was like drinking from a fire hydrant. I said this in the episode. Most people paint heaven with black and white, and he's been given the ability to paint heaven with color. And I think my biggest takeaway was the tangibleness of heaven. Talking to Randy makes heaven incredibly tangible, which that sounds sort of weird, Casey, because it should be tangible. But I think sometimes we've seen so many movies and we've read so many books, we sort of get lost in it. I just felt like when I got done with Randy and I've read all his stuff, I just felt like, yeah, heaven is everything and more than I ever thought it would be.
In your line of work as a pastor, this is a topic that comes up frequently, not just from what you speak on a stage on a Sunday morning, but from the time you spend with families who've lost a loved one that are grappling with the idea of eternity and what's next for the person that I lost and what's next for me. What do you think that just in general, people get wrong about eternity when they think about heaven?
That's a great question. Randy tagged it a little bit in there. I think everybody just assumes everybody's going. You know, I think hell, we think, is for Adolf Hitler and for the worst of ever people. And we think heaven is for everybody. And I don't think that is the right answer. I think the right answer is heaven is for those that have made that decision to make Jesus Christ their personal Lord and Savior. Because if heaven is perfection, the only way I get into heaven is by being perfect. Well, I'm not perfect, but I'm covered in his perfection with the blood of Jesus, which gets me in heaven. So I think we get that wrong. I think we assume everybody's going to heaven, and that is not the case, which makes why we live out our faith and why we share our faith and why we live out a real faith even more important. So I would say that's number one. Number two, I would say that people get wrong that hell's going to be a happy place, right? And Randy hit it. Everything good we enjoy here won't be there, because the only thing that makes it good is the goodness of God, and the goodness of God will be removed from hell. So I think, one, we think everybody's going to heaven, which isn't true. Second, we think, well, hell's not going to be that bad. I mean, you know, at worst, I'll just get to be hanging out with my buddies and play pool. Well, that's really not the case. So I think we miss the power of both because we don't get either of them right. Heaven, we don't deserve. Hell, we do. Heaven is a gift from God. Hell is a decision I've made to choose not to follow him. So it's an interesting thing, because when I'm planning a funeral with people, they typically will just ignore that hell even exists. It's like, well, I know they're in heaven. They were a good person, or they tried to do good, or they wanted all the right things. And that's just not what going to heaven really means.
You know, I thought that was one of my standouts. I thought Randy did such a great job of really bringing to life this idea that, no, eternity is forever.
Yeah.
And where you end up is a massive deal. Like there's so much at stake in your life today and my life today with the people that we interact with, because eternity is this just massive deal. So how does knowing about heaven and knowing about the reality of hell affect how I lead today?
Well, I think it changes everything. And you and I, we've laughed about this. Literally, I probably asked Randy less than 8 questions. I had 3 pages of questions. He, when he got going, man, he was unbelievable. I mean, it's just like he's bleeding out information just because he's lived in it so long. You know, I think, Casey, one of the questions I had for Randy was, how does knowing about heaven change how I lead today? And I think the answer I would give to that, to our listeners today, is this: it changes everything. Am I leading for a life here just for the next 70, 80 years I live on this earth, or the 70, 80 years I live on this earth? Or am I living for something that's bigger and longer than that? So am I leading this person to just be a good person here, or am I leading this person to give them the opportunity to see what eternity could be like, lived out by how I love them, how I lead them, how I serve them? It's, eternity's real. And for us to only measure life by our earthly years, I think we're missing something. I think living with the end in mind, living that kid that's going to be on the ball field with us this afternoon, man, they're going to be making an eternal choice in life about who they're going to follow. Did I point them the right direction? Did I point them towards Jesus? Or did my actions and attitudes point them away from Jesus? I think it changes everything with how, because if all life is just a big board game and we're putting it all back in and somebody else play the board game, well, then that changes everything. I just think it's bigger than that. I think that life is bigger than that, and I think eternity plays into that. And how I believe in what's to come changes how I live today.
I completely agree with you, and I think one of the hardest things for us to do, though, is keep an eternal perspective. 100%. When we hear about heaven and we hear about the reality of hell at church on a Sunday, man, that's at the forefront of my mind. And then the second that I get to lunch, I go back to living. And I'm worried about the day-to-day. I'm worried about what's in front of me. So for leaders who are tuned in with us right now, how would you tell them that they can begin to keep that eternal perspective when they're having conversations with employees, when they're just in moments with their family? How can they begin to shift their brains to that?
I think they're just keeping it at the forefront and reminding. And I think anytime all of us attend a funeral, it does that to us. You know, you lost some great friends in high school, and going to sit at a funeral service of a kid that you were just playing ball with is a reality check. It's like, man, we aren't going to be here forever. And I think so the part of my job I hate the most is funerals. I hate having to do a funeral. I mean, whether the person's 85 or 15, they're just hard. But the part I'm thankful for is I do funerals. Because every time I leave that family, I'm reminded again of the shortness of this life, that we aren't guaranteed anything. So I would challenge leaders, number one, live with the end in mind. Who is going to be at your funeral? That's what Daniel Harkavy talked about. Who's going to be sitting in a row at your funeral one day? What are they going to say about you? So when I live with the end in mind, that I'm not going to be here forever, I'm going to make every day count, then I'm going to treat other people with the end in mind as well, that this life, as great as it isn't everything. And I'm living for something way past this world that I'm going to be in forever. But that world changes how I live here. I live with more intentionality. I live with more passion. So I would just challenge leaders to live with the end in mind, that this person may have come across your path in your profession, not for your job to make a widget. They came across your path for you to point them to what and who you know. And man, that's where God sent you there. So if I live with that end in mind, then it changes how I live out today.
You know, you and I could spend half an hour breaking down your conversation with Randy, because you covered so much, but you and I aren't going to be able to do it as eloquently as Randy did and talk as deeply about the new heavens and new earth as Randy did. I mean, you and I have had enough conversations to this point to know that's not going to happen.
Not gonna happen.
So if you have those eternal questions and you haven't listened to the episode yet, I'm just telling you, Randy probably covers the question that you're asking. And if he doesn't do it in the episode, he does it in his book. So you will find that answer. But there was one area that stood out to me about your conversation and your time with Randy, and you hit on it a little bit already in our time together today. But it's Randy's passion about this topic. Mm-hmm. And this is a guy that he describes how he found interest in the idea of what's next and what is heaven and where are we going. But he's so passionate and knowledgeable about this topic. And you can just tell it is not just an ethereal idea to him, but this idea of seeing heaven become real and having people experience heaven one day is something that he's just so passionate about. So I want to sit on that idea of passion real quick. What would you say to a leader today that is going into a job that there is no passion? There is no zeal. They're just showing up, punching the clock, looking forward to 8 hours later when they can punch out. How would you encourage them in this season? And then what would you say to them about finding that thing that they're most passionate about that God has created them for?
You know, I can't imagine a tougher existence than to get up and go do something every day that you feel like it just doesn't matter. So I would say a couple things. Number one, work today as if it does matter to the Lord. I think a lot of times we just look at our occupation and go, it really doesn't matter. And it really does matter. It doesn't mean we're going to be in it forever. But while I'm in it today, I need to give it my very best. So I'm going to work for the Lord while I'm there. And I'm going to try to see a bigger significance for me doing what I do. So I would say that, because I don't think everybody just needs to turn in a notice and quit. I don't think that. I think sometimes we just get lost in going, well, why does me being a plumber, or why does me being a fireman, why does that matter? What does matter? Because what we do and how we work, which goes back to our few episodes ago on the Sacred and Secular podcast episode, really does matter. So I would say, number one, work today and really pray, God, I want to glorify you and honor you today in what I do. Secondly, maybe it's time to start looking for something that fires your engine. Jim Collins, who wrote the book Good to Great, I remember years ago, he had these three concentric circles. And he said, one circle is what I love to do. Another circle is what I'm good at. But the middle part where those circles connected, that little, he said, that's our sweet spot. And he said, that's what I can get paid to do. Well, there's a lot of things I may love to do, but I can't get paid for them, right? Or I love to do it and I'm not good at them. I would love to be a professional baseball player. Problem was, I wasn't good enough. So that's off the table. There's other things we love to do that's really a hobby. I'm not going to get paid for it. But when we can find that sweet spot to where it's what I love to do, it's something that I'm good at, and I can get paid for it. And maybe it's sitting down with a pastor or a counselor or a life coach to help navigate us. Because I'm telling you, man, working 50, 60 years, that'd be miserable to do something I didn't enjoy. I love what I do. So I look forward to getting up and rolling every day, but I love what I do. I can't imagine if I didn't. I really can't. But that's where the majority of Americans live. Majority of Americans, they can't wait till Friday and they dread Monday. And that is a tough, tough existence. Randy found his sweet spot. Now, what was interesting about his story is he didn't find it right away. He had to navigate a little bit to get there. But when he got there, he now is using it to bless people. So I would start by saying, God, I'm going to honor you today with what I do, but I may not do this forever. So I'm going to start the process of looking at what maybe is out there that I could do, whether there's some inventories I could do, strengths finders. And there's a lot of other great test that can help point us that right direction.
I want to just say it again one more time before we talk about your next episode. But if you haven't listened to this episode, you need to go back and you need to listen to it. And then I believe that this episode and your time with Randy is just one of those conversations that hits everybody.
Yeah.
Because whether you have a faith background or not, we all have questions about what comes after this life. And I think Randy, being the expert he is on the subject, does such a great job bringing it to life. So send this episode to somebody that you love and somebody that you care about. It is just one that I think needs to stay in the library for all of us. You've got another conversation coming out on Monday. Why don't you tell us about your next guest?
Yeah, so I get to sit down with Natalie Bourne. I didn't know Natalie. I've heard a lot about her. And boy, we got to sit down and talk about her brand new book. And what I loved about Natalie is just the passion. And it's very similar to the Randy piece. Her book is about helping you find that passion in you and that igniting that passion. And so for a lot of people that listen to that episode that go, man, Casey, I'm right where you talked about. I'm just not enjoying what I do. So where do I start? This next episode will be incredibly helpful to you because it is definitely in line with helping you discover your gifts and your passions and the wiring and calling that God's put inside you.
Well, to make sure that you don't miss Mike's upcoming conversation or any of his conversations, be sure wherever you are listening to this or watching this right now, go ahead and subscribe so that you never miss an episode. We're looking forward to getting to break down his conversation with Natalie here in a couple of weeks, but we hope and pray you go live out and be the leader that God has called you to be. We'll see you next time. Have a good one.
Thank you so much for joining us today and adding to your leadership toolbox. We will see you Monday when Mike sits down with another amazing leader who is making a mark in the space and place that God has put them. For more information about Lynch with a Leader, please visit the website www.mikelynch.com.